Dinner was provided by De Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard, open daily from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. De Nicola's Authentic Italian Restaurant has been a Portland institution for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
Have you ever wondered how a radio station works? Find out by joining KBOO's engineering committee. Or, do you have a radio, electrical, or audio engineering background and are looking for a good way to use those skills for good? Join KBOO's engineering committee. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland unless otherwise noted. The next engineering committee will meet Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m.
Supporting KBOO is extremely important, not only to the station itself, but the purpose of the station's existence. It's all about community. It's all about enabling the members of our neighborhoods and our neighborhood blocks, our households, the opportunity to speak out and to show their talents, their abilities, the things that are important to them. And KBOO gives you that platform to share that information.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:01, and the KBOO Evening News is next.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, high school students across Portland strike for the climate 3 months after mass demonstrations worldwide.
A gunman kills three and injures eight at a U.S. naval base in Pensacola, Florida.
And the risk flu poses to migrants in detention camps.
Good evening, this is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, December 6, 2019. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Claire Rosciato.
And I'm Linda Olsten Osterland. Several hundred protesters, mainly high school students, marched through downtown Portland today as part of an international climate strike. The march ended in a rally at Terry Schrunk Plaza led by the Pacific Warriors. They chanted, "The seas are rising, so are we, and we're not drowning, we are fighting." KBOO was there and brings us sounds from the rally.
Super typhoons are attacking my people. Corporations are killing our homes. My elders are in pain. Your so-called beaches, resorts, hotels, souvenirs are our sacred lands washed away, and you still sit back and do nothing.
You say that we're stupid, that we're dumb. Our acts of protest useless. You look at us like we're crazy. Crazy for fighting for the damaged home. Crazy for screaming. Our voice loud for our proud cultures.
The seas are rising, so are we.
Do you realize the history rooted beneath the earth's floor? The one you ignore? The one we're fighting for?
As the whites rise against the Ethiopian colonization, we will rise again against the purposeful destruction of our earth!
With the pain and sadness along with the heartbreak, we as warriors still have hope and are fighting with pride to save our islands. Being without them, we are lost, along with the identity.
We will fight with our chima, singing, marching, fierce. We are not giving up. We are right here, and we will not stand by this climate genocide.
What you don't see is us rising.
fighting back against the hate and discrimination, fighting for our people, our children, our homeland.
To my beautiful island of Chuuk, Barito, Namia Soto, Pisipura Nowak, Nesor Meponos.
To my beautiful Amu people, Bekum Sito Ga, Garuma, Amu Din Astaban Himborana.
To my beautiful Uchina. What that you basa? Uchinan chu makirando, sibari yo Okinawa.
My beautiful islands of Fiji. I say Nisan Bula and Vinaka Maka Levu. We will still fight and never give up. I say mother, but we will say Bula real soon.
Fiji!
To the last remaining kingdom in the South Pacific, and my beautiful island Tonga.
To my beautiful homeland, the Marshall Islands, we see you. Yes. We may be small atolls scattered in the Pacific Ocean, but together our voices are powerful. Yes. They tell us we're drowning, but what they don't see is us fighting.
Yes. To my islands of Palau, we are not giving up!
Palau! To all our homelands, the seas are rising, so are we!
Always carry a place in my heart. The things that make us proud to be Pacific Islanders. You haven't seen the best of us yet.
We are not alone. The people will fight. We are rising. We are resilient. We are storytellers. And this story will be passed on forever. But that's only if we fight now. Fight together. We are rising.
Nothing about us. The seas are rising, so are we!
Those were sounds from today's rally for climate justice in Portland. At the end of the rally, the youth handed a copy of their demands to Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. He didn't speak, but was met with chants of "Now do something about it" and "Free transit for youth" as he walked across the stage.
Early this morning, a gunman killed three people at a U.S. naval base in Pensacola, Florida, and injured eight others. The gunman was a Saudi student at the base named Mohammed Zayed Al-Shamarani. He was shot dead by officials. This is the second shooting to take place at a U.S. military base this week. On Wednesday, a U.S. sailor shot and killed two workers at the Pearl Harbor military base in Hawaii. Al-Shamarani was a member of the Saudi Air Force, and it is not uncommon for international students to receive training at the Pensacola base and others, provided that they pass through vetting. Navy Air Station Pensacola employs more than 16,000 military and over 7,000 civilian personnel. 60,000 members of the Navy, Marines and Air Force and Coast Guard receive training there each year. It is also a popular tourist destination and is the home of the National Naval Aviation Museum. The base was on lockdown until 10 a.m. this morning and is closed for the rest of the day, with only essential personnel allowed to enter. Officials have said they will not release the names of the victims of the attack until next of kin have been notified.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection detention facilities are hotbeds for potential flu epidemics, and children and older people are especially vulnerable. As Nadia Ramalagan reports, this has some doctors concerned about the lack of access to the flu vaccine for migrants.
Peak flu season is here, when most people check in with their doctors about whether to get a flu shot. But for migrants being held in detention centers, that isn't an option. And U.S. Customs and Border Protection has refused to offer the flu vaccine to detainees. Now, a group of physicians from across the country is pushing the federal government to allow the group to open a pilot flu vaccination clinic. Dr. Danielle Dinas signed the group's letter to government officials advocating for migrant access to free flu vaccines. She says detention centers are high-risk settings for severe flu cases.
So you've taken a very high-risk, vulnerable population, and then you've put them into these very unsanitary conditions where you then have people who are surrounded in them who may or may not have flu vaccines and may not know the right precautions to take, and it's just kind of a recipe for disaster.
She says so far the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Department of Health and Human Services have ignored the request. The traveling clinic would be run by a volunteer network network of doctors with a donated stock of vaccines and a multi-language consent process. Anyone who is considering getting a flu shot should consult with their medical provider. She adds flu infections were responsible for the deaths of at least 3 children in federal custody during the 2018 flu season, a mortality rate 9 times higher than the general pediatric population. Dinah says some in the medical community are alarmed.
And so we started seeing child death. The letter that came out over the summer was something that was written by a group of pathologists and other physicians who performed the autopsies on several of the kids who had died in some of the detention centers.
She believes more deaths are likely this flu season if government agencies don't take action.
Yeah, our group is made up of about 2,000 physicians who all believe that this is a really important issue, and we're both Democrats and Republicans. And I think that speaks to the humanitarian issue that this is. It is not a partisan issue. It is not a politics issue.
Children, older people, and pregnant women are among those at the highest risk of contracting the flu. Dinas points out that overcrowded conditions and lack of access to soap and hand sanitizer can spur spread of the virus. For Public News Service, I'm Nadia Romlagan.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Annette Newell and Aaron Bernard to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. You are listening to KBOO FM, and we're in the middle of our very exciting holiday drive. And this is a time when we get to talk about the things we're grateful for and reflect on things like KBOO. And we're inviting you to call right now. Show your support by calling 877-500-5266. Or you can go online to kboo.fm and make your donation there to keep this really good thing going. And I'm joined right now by Erin. Erin and I actually work in the news department, and we really enjoy it. She's been here quite a few more years than I have, though. So tell us about how you got started at KBOO and why you keep coming back.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Annette. And great to be talking with you off the cuff. So I was trying to count backwards. It's been so many years, but I think it's just about 7 years, coming up on 7 years.
Wow.
When rather impulsively, I decided to just send an email to the volunteer coordinator at KBOO. I must have heard from somebody that you could volunteer there. And before I knew it, I'd kind of been swept up into the KBOO family. Came in working for the news department and was immediately accepted, trained, educated, and just really encouraged to try out different things here at the station and see what worked for me. I eventually landed in the evening news department doing anchoring on Wednesdays. Yeah. And so that's how I got started.
Yeah. And what is it that's special about the KBOO Evening News?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because looking back at the trajectory of my time here, so much has changed in my personal life. You know, back then I was a freewheeling single gal. Now I'm married with a kid and much further along in my career, have different pressures that I'm faced with. But, you know, looking around me, a lot has changed in the world, too. This is not the world we lived in 2013. The Obama era feels like an incredibly remote memory. And, you know, watching all these changes in my life and also kind of in our city and in our country and in the world at large, I just really feel like the need for independent media is stronger than ever, so much stronger than I ever could have imagined when I kind of just waltzed in here in the midst of 2013. And, you know, it's all the more important that we step up and support our independent community media. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help however I can.
Okay, Aaron, it's so wonderful to have you here with me, and we can talk about our mutual respect and really love for KBOO and the evening news and everything that we do here. So one more time, I'd like to pitch you that phone number, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm and become a member right now.
Thanks, Annette.
Better transportation and pedestrian-friendly streets may be on their way to Southwest Portland, thanks to a City Council resolution adopted yesterday. The resolution, called Southwest in Motion, or SWIM, seeks to bring better and safer transportation options to the hilly neighborhood. In the neighborhood, there are few dedicated bus lanes and bike routes, and many streets don't have sidewalks, which make it difficult to commute without a car. In order to reach the city's goal of 70% reduction in car commutes by 2035, a collection of plans called SWIM was introduced. Five main issues will be addressed by the project: sidewalk and crosswalk infills, protected bike lanes, safe shoulders for easier walking on roads without sidewalks, neighborhood greenways, and a new concept called pedestrian shared street. This concept would envision a pedestrian and bike-centric street without having to fund new sidewalks. Currently, the Portland Bureau of Transportation does not have the funds to carry out all of the plans in the proposed project. Public commenters at last night's meeting expressed their support for the expanded transportation initiative and even encouraged PBOT to go further. Before casting her vote, Commissioner Chloe Udaly, who oversees PBOT, said, quote, "Yes, we're not doing everything that needs to be done, but we're going to deliver short-term improvements to your neighborhood," end quote.
In North Dakota, police are testing a new risk management tool to gauge the risk of repeat domestic assault. As Eric Tagadoff reports, the assessment has 13 questions for police to ask a domestic violence victim to judge the risk that their abuser might reoffend.
Law enforcement in a North Dakota county is testing out a tool that measures a domestic violence offender's likelihood of assaulting again. The Ontario Domestic Assault Risk Assessment, or ODARA, is an evidence-based questionnaire from Canadian police and health officials. Researchers found it's 77% accurate at predicting future assaults by males on a female victim. An offender's score is shared with prosecutors and judges to determine if a higher bond or no contact order is necessary. Captain Jason Kraft is with the Ward County Sheriff's Department, where the tool is being tested.
Our ultimate goal is to try to help victims and stop the cycle of domestic violence. So if using this tool can help us break that cycle or get that victim the proper services that they need, I think this would be a very beneficial thing.
Kraft says the department should have all of its deputies trained to use ODARA this month. It consists of 13 questions for the victim, such as has the offender threatened to kill you or anyone else, and their substance abuse history. A higher score indicates a higher risk of reoffending. ODARA has been implemented in some parts of Iowa and New Jersey, and statewide in Maine. Law enforcement and advocates for domestic violence victims say the goal is to get everyone associated with a case on the same page about a person's potential threat. Tara Bjornson, assistant director of the Domestic Violence Crisis Center in Minot, says while no assessment is 100% accurate, information can help prevent future assaults.
Once you take in the totality of the circumstances and you factor in as much information as you can be a very useful tool for law enforcement, for the high-risk team, to keep a victim safe from future harm.
Nancy Murphy, also with the Domestic Violence Crisis Center, says she's been doing criminal justice advocacy work for many years and doesn't see many consequences for domestic violence.
How do we protect them in their own homes? How do we hold this offender accountable? How do we get better sentencing or treatment, whatever it is that they need to stop this violence? This is just one more tool we're looking at.
Murphy says other North Dakota counties are using similar assessments. Ward County is coordinating with the state attorney to determine if other agencies should bring ODARA on board. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Mayor Ted Wheeler's campaign manager has stepped down to take a job with Nike. Jennifer Arguenzoni made her announcement this morning, leaving the re-election campaign to her deputy, Amy Rathfelder. If Wheeler wins re-election, he would become the first two-term Portland mayor since Vera Katz stepped down in 2005. He faces challenges from Sarah Inaroni, an activist and an educator, and Ozzy Gonzalez, an architect. According to campaign filings, Wheeler has raised only $5,600 so far this year. Arguenzoni will be with the campaign through the end of the year, saying of Wheeler, quote, "It's been an honor working with Mayor Wheeler. I'm proud to have been part of Mayor Wheeler's incredible career and his service to the people of Portland," end quote.
A congressional bill to keep the Olympics wild passed out of committee yesterday. Eric Tagedoff has the story.
A bill a decade in the making to protect parts of the Olympic National Forest passed out of committee in Congress on Thursday. The Wild Olympics Wilderness and Wild and Scenic Rivers Act would permanently protect more than 126,000 acres of the forest as wilderness and 19 rivers and their tributaries as wild and scenic, the first river protections of its kind on the Olympic Peninsula. Roy Knott, president of LD Knott Company in Aberdeen and a former timber executive, is a longtime supporter of the bill. He says the region's natural beauty would help the local economy, which is changing.
What's more important than a few additional trees that are irreplaceable is the workforce. It's the ability to attract new people to this area and the skills of those people in really creating the next generation of businesses for the Olympic Peninsula.
The measure received a full committee markup in the House Natural Resources Committee on Thursday. It's designed so that it won't impact any timber jobs on the peninsula. Knott grew up on the Olympic Peninsula and lived in the south and northeastern U.S. before being drawn back to the region.
It's just so incredible to be able to go to a place like Ruby Beach in the morning and then go up the Queets Valley or up the whole valley and all the way up to the trails, the rivers. It's an incredible place.
More than 12,000 local residents have signed a petition in support of the legislation. It's also gained endorsements from 800 local tribes, businesses, and mayors of towns such as Aberdeen, Port Angeles, and Port Townsend. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
The White House has indicated it will not cooperate with the impeachment proceedings in the House and called on House Democrats to end their impeachment inquiry. This comes after the announcement yesterday that House Democrats would be working to draw up articles of impeachment against President Trump. White House counsel Pat Cipollone wrote a letter to the Democratic chairman of the House Judiciary Committee warning against proceeding. Doing so, the letter stated, quote, would constitute the most unjust, highly partisan, and unconstitutional attempt at impeachment in our nation's history, end quote. The executive branch has blocked several witnesses from testifying in the impeachment probe. House Democrats maintain that after the testimony they've received, there's clear evidence to indicate that Trump abused his power in Ukraine by using his position to push the foreign power to investigate his political rivals. House Democrats are hoping to have a vote on the articles of impeachment before Christmas break.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Aaron Bernard and Annette Newell to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to KBOO and our holiday drive. KBOO, of course, is funded by our listeners, by you. So we're asking you to pick up that phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. Or you can go online right now at kboo.fm and become a member. We appreciate our sustaining members so much. I'm Annette Newell. I'm here with Aaron right now from the news department. Both of us work in the news department for the KBOO Evening News, and we really enjoyed it. Aaron, you've been here a long time, 7 years. You've been volunteering here.
Yeah, coming up on 7 years now and still going strong.
And why is it that you like KBOO and like volunteering and you keep coming back for more and giving of your time?
Well, you know, we're all busy people, lots to do. It can be hard to make the time for volunteering on a weekly basis. But, you know, I think KBOO's values and vision and mission are more important now than ever. You know, this is really where you go for neglected perspectives and to get that dose of truly independent journalism in name and in practice. You know, these are stories other people aren't telling, and that you're not hearing on other radio stations, you're not reading in newspapers and magazines. And so I think what I love about volunteering here at KBOO is, you know, I get a lot of my perspectives affirmed, which is great, but I feel like I also get them challenged too. You know, the stories we tell and the community values we live here are, people take the mandate quite seriously, and I feel like I learn a little something every week I'm here. I'm challenged to think of things in a new way. I'm challenged to rethink the information I'm fed from all other sides. And so that's what I get out of volunteering for KBOO is I'm really challenged to grow as a person.
Yeah, you're supporting real independent media and radio that's relevant to the real people of Portland and the community here. We're hearing from people that you don't hear on other sources, and their voices are finally being heard thanks to KBOO. So we would really love for you to pick up the phone right now and give us a call. We've got volunteers standing by waiting for your call. It's 877-500-5266. Also, we invite you to go online and check us out at kboo.fm and become a member right now. Thank you.
are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rising Up with Sonali at 6. At 7, it's The Struggle with host Alyssa Pariah. The weather tonight will be rainy with a low of 43, and tomorrow the rain will continue with a high of 48 degrees. Today in history, in 1947, the Everglades National Park in Florida was dedicated. The Everglades provide important habitat for plant and animal species not found anywhere else on the planet. The quote of the day is from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, American suffragette and conservationist, who said, quote, "The Everglades is a test. If we pass it, we may get to keep the planet."
For hours he would ride on the range far and wide. When the night winds blow up a swamp, his heart is a feather in all kinds of...
A House vote on impeachment could proceed before Christmas break. With that story and more, here's Lily Bulkey with 2020 Talks.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
In Washington, impeachment's ramping up. Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced yesterday that the House is drafting articles of impeachment, preparing for a vote by Christmas. But presidential campaigns aren't slowing down.
We had planned all along, after Thanksgiving, we were going to be on the ground a lot more, going to smaller communities, and to make sure we were pressing the flesh and asking. Because where I come from, you ask. You have to ask. I'm asking you all. I'm asking for your vote.
Former Vice President Joe Biden on how he's doubling down on Iowa retail politics. National politics, though, is following him. Yesterday, he challenged an Iowa voter to a IQ test or push-ups after the voter called him, quote, "too old for the job," unquote. When the 83-year-old farmer accused him of improperly sending his son to Ukraine for political purposes, Biden bluntly said the man was lying. In the next 10 days, there are over 60 planned appearances by presidential candidates across the Hawkeye state. Like the Iowa ground game, coveted endorsements are accelerating too. With just under 60 days until the first in the nation caucus, momentum matters right now.
I also know about you Iowans. I won't call you fickle, but you usually don't make up your mind till pretty late in the game. And so, for example, I remember at this time, John Kerry was getting his rear end kicked. He was, I think, number 4, and he came back and he won.
Speaking of John Kerry, the 2004 Democratic nominee endorsed Biden yesterday, perhaps his most significant endorsement to date. Three former Obama administration officials endorsed South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg this week, as did the nation's largest liberal group dedicated to veterans welfare, Vote Vets.
This is our first presidential candidate endorsement, so this was a big deal for us. And I think right now, his campaign is at a crossroads.
Speaking for Vote Vets, Iraq War veteran Kate Hoyt says Buttigieg will either keep gaining momentum or start to fade.
We wanted to make sure we helped him through upcoming victories like Super Tuesday. So we just thought the timing was right.
Iowa's largest progressive political organization, Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, or ICCI, endorsed Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders for the second time. They also endorsed him in 2016. ICCI board president Cherie Mortis.
Since 1963, when Bernie, as a young college student at the University of Chicago, set in motion the direction of his life by standing up for civil rights, and he took an arrest. Bernie has never wavered in his priority of putting the lives of everyday people first and has been a movement builder and a people's champion ever since.
But endorsements aren't everything. California Senator Kamala Harris had more endorsements from big-name Democrats before she left the race than any other candidate save Joe Biden, according to 538. Biden has since indicated he would consider her as vice president if he wins the nomination. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bulkey. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
Diversity in the workplace can yield bountiful results. Eric Gallatus with reports on the other abled workers who fuel a vertical farm.
An indoor vertical farm in Jackson that produces and sells roughly 100,000 pounds of fresh produce annually is powered by a workforce built on the concept of diversity. Nearly two-thirds of Vertical Harvest's workers face disabilities, including autism, Down syndrome, or vision, speech, and learning impairments. Caroline Croft Este is the company's co-founder and says inclusive, integrated workplaces are game changers for businesses because they bring in new energy. Everybody is excited to clock in.
They're ready to work. They're on time. They work hard. And it's really shifted the culture and kind of raised the bar for all of us, creating this really beautiful, fluid workplace where everybody works together and works hard.
The three-story hydroponic operation produces as much food as a traditional five-acre soil farm year-round and with a lot less water. Vertical Harvest workers grow about 25 varieties of micro and specialty greens, lettuces, and tomatoes. But Croft Este adds that workers are also trained to tackle administrative tasks, sales, marketing, customer service, and technical maintenance. Croft Este says while the training process for workers with disabilities can require an upfront investment, the long-term outcome is substantial. She also believes there's a job out there for every individual who wants one, regardless of their specific ability level, and says everyone has a right to work.
And yes, the training can take a little bit longer, but then the commitment and the dedication, we have no turnover. Everybody that works at the greenhouse stays at the greenhouse and wants to stay at the greenhouse.
Croft Este hopes businesses of all types will come to see people with different abilities as an untapped and valuable workforce, eager to give back to their communities and earn real wages. Nationally, 25% of people with disabilities currently live in poverty, and just one in three is employed. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Galatas.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Annette Newell and Aaron Bernard to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hello, you are listening to KBOO and its Holiday Drive. Aaron J. Bernard here in studio with Annette Newell. And we're just here to talk a little bit about what we love about KBOO. So, Annette, before we do that, I'm going to remind everybody that KBOO is funded by our listeners. And what we're doing today is asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. Or you can go to KBOO.fm and become a member.